You can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Mark Twain said this: to make a pledge of any kind is to declare war against nature. For a pledge is a chain that is always clanking and reminding the wearer of it that he is not a free man. Have you ever made a promise and then after thought, why did I commit to that? Have you ever? Like parents do to their kids? And you make a promise or you say you're going to take your child somewhere, and then every day when the kids are little, they just have this memory. And then they say those words when you say, listen, if you keep asking, I'm not going to take you, but you promised. Oh, and then your heart sinks within you. Well, many parents understand that. Or if you've made any kind of promise, and then after a while, maybe in the moment you made a promise, but then after a while it starts to not have the same, you change your feelings on it. You may feel like you're bound, and it becomes somewhat of a burden. Well, I have to tell you, that's in a negative sense, but in a positive sense, God has made us, we who are in Christ, a wonderful promise. Actually, many, many promises. And one of the promises that God has made for us as children is that we are heirs, or we are going to be inheriting something. And the difference between man and God is that we have regrets and we change our minds and we don't fulfill our promises, or there have been others who haven't been faithful to their promises to us and we've been let down. But when it comes to God, believer, you never, ever, ever have to be concerned whether God is going to come through in his promise. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And when he's made a promise to you, child of God, he is going to fulfill that promise. And what's so encouraging about this is that no matter what you're going through today, your eternity is secure. And you know why? Because that moment you put faith in Jesus Christ, he promised to give you a great inheritance. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at the believer's inheritance in Christ. And we're going to be asking these four questions. Question number one, what is it? Question number two, how did we obtain it? Question number three, how do we know if we obtained it? And question number four, what our response should be knowing that we have retained or obtained such a wonderful inheritance. Now, I think it's so important for us who are the children of God to be reminded of this promise of God. Because sometimes we get so wrapped up in this world that almost walls build up where it's so hard for us to see the world that is to come. And I pray that this message this morning, as we read the scriptures, really it's God's heart, would break down any wall that has become a block for you to see eternity and the wonderful blessings that God has for all of us who love him. For some of you here, this message is going to be so enlightening because you really don't know this information. Or if you know because you've heard it, you really haven't really understood it. And I hope that by the time we're done, you would really fully understand, at least as best as I can explain it to you, the great inheritance that is yours in Christ. And so that as an introduction, let's just take a minute. Let's pause, pray. We'll read through the text, and then we'll answer those questions. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to each one of us. We thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And Lord, I know that there are many here that have put faith in you, and I thank you for giving me the privilege to be in the company of your people. I pray, God, that you would bless your people. Lord, I also know that there is definitely the possibility that there are some here who don't know you, not in a personal way. And so, God, I pray that for them, that as we read your word would have such an impact on their hearts, and that your Holy Spirit, who is among us, that the conviction of your Spirit would fall upon that individual and they would cry out to you, that they would repent and turn from their ways and turn to you, God, because you love us and your thoughts towards us are good, not evil, to give us a future and a hope. And Lord, as we discuss our future, the inheritance that we have, that we will one day experience, that we already possess, I pray that the hope of eternal life would grow so great within us and inspire us and elevate us, so to speak, into the heavenly, so that we can have your perspective on whatever life circumstances we're going through today. We love you and we thank you for your presence among us. And we give you all glory and all honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in verse 11, Paul says, "In him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." When you're reading Paul's writings, you'll notice that his sentences are so pregnant and filled with content. And it's good to just go through them and take your time. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to take our time and go through these verses. The first thing is that we have obtained an inheritance, and it's because we are in Christ. You know, as a citizen of this country, there's a lot of benefits that you have because you are a citizen, benefits that those that are not citizens of this country do not have. We may take it for granted. And there's about 700,000 people every year wanting to be citizens and becoming citizens of this awesome country that we're in. Once they become citizens, they automatically receive certain benefits that you and I take for granted. Well, when we become children of God because of faith in Christ, we received, among many things, a great inheritance. But what is it? Well, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they received an inheritance, a promise. They were in bondage just like we used to be in bondage. And God delivered them out of bondage. just like God delivered us out of bondage. And he brought them to a land that he had promised them, and that was their inheritance, the promised land. For us, we understand that the inheritance, although it's so simple, yet it's so profound, and none of us can truly wrap our minds around this great inheritance. But the inheritance that awaits us, you know what it is? Heaven. Heaven. And all of the riches, all that that word heaven entails, that in reality, the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We really have no true understanding of the glories that await us who are in Christ. You know, Paul the Apostle said he was caught up into the third heaven, and he saw things that he couldn't express in human words. And that, my brothers and sisters, is where we are headed. That's all you got? For those of you who responded, amen, yes, praise God. For those of you who didn't, I have to believe you're just in awe of the truth that awaits you. Now, concerning the inheritance, Paul, he tells us that this inheritance God predetermined before the foundations of the world, that all who put faith in Christ would receive. It had nothing to do with you in the sense that you didn't earn it. You certainly couldn't deserve it by your own. I couldn't. None of us could. But God, before the foundations of the world, said and had a plan for you and I. The moment that you put faith in Christ, you would be a recipient of this wonderful inheritance. You would possess it practically and positionally, practically, one day we're going to walk into it. We're going to be translated from this mortal to immortality. God bless you. Now, the fascinating thing is that this inheritance that we have obtained is according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, talking about the sovereignty of God. And we're going to see that there is nothing or no one that can stop this promise from being fulfilled because we are in Christ. Now, if you are not in Christ, it's a different story for you. By nature, we are all children of wrath by nature. Jesus, he said that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But he said that he who believes is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already. I don't think many people realize, I didn't, that by nature, when I died, if I rejected Christ, I was going to hell by nature. And if you reject Christ, then by nature, your sinful nature that bent towards doing evil that you have, you can't deny that. Your eternal destiny is in hell. But that doesn't have to be the case, because God has made provision for you to receive this gift of eternal life through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. The Bible also says that God is not willing that any should perish, and that's why he made provision for you, because he loves you. And so simply, all you have to do is make a commitment to Christ. Did you know that in this country, to become a citizen, you had to make a vow? And I'm going to share with you what that vow is. It's an oath, the neutralization oath of allegiance to the United States of America. And here's the oath. I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and reject all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed force of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform work of national importance under civil under civilian direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. In exchange, they will enjoy many of the benefits and privileges of being a United States citizen. You know what's hilarious? I was born and raised here. And if you noticed, I stumbled reading that several times. Did you notice? You didn't? Oh, I love people like you. I love all of you, even though some of you noticed. And I'm American. I was born here. Think about a foreigner who barely knows the language reciting that. What would that sound like? Okay, all kidding aside, but it's true. What would that sound like? That's pretty difficult. That's pretty lengthy, isn't it? To be a citizen of the United States, what an oath you have to make. And yet God has made it even more simple than that to make a commitment to Christ. The same implications. There is a true commitment. There is a turning away. Certainly, if you're here and you haven't made a commitment to Christ, there is a turning away and abandoning of your old life and any allegiance to your old life. Jesus said, if a man desires to follow me, let him deny himself. But a real simple, sincere commitment of faith, God has made it simple, that from your own heart, you can make that commitment to Jesus Christ right now. You ask the Lord to forgive you and to cleanse you of your sins. And you turn to him and you become a part of God's family. There's absolutely no reason why you cannot make that commitment to Jesus Christ other than a heart issue. That's the only thing, because God is for you. God is desiring that you would make that commitment today. He's provided for you, so the only thing that's holding you back is your own heart. God will forgive you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, and the blood that was shed on the cross was to atone for your sins. So the sin is not an issue. God has thought of everything in order for you to make a commitment to Christ. The sin does become an issue when you're not willing to turn from it and turn to God, and you reject God's only means of salvation, which is his son, Jesus. So, you can be a recipient of this great inheritance, and we who have been a recipient of this great inheritance, we understand that it is heaven itself. Now, Peter, he tells us a few things, and I draw your attention to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 3. Peter writes this. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That is so awesome when you think about it. Now, there are four descriptive words concerning our inheritance. The first one, and if you circle things in your Bible or you mark them up, highlight them, or you underline them, is incorruptible. Our inheritance is incorruptible. I mean, think about things that have gotten corrupted. One of the illustrations I know all of us can relate to is food. Have you ever smelled food that's gotten rotted? For me, it's every stinking Wednesday. It's actually Tuesday. Every Tuesday when I roll that tote out to the front of the yard, that thing's putrid. I mean, I don't even have to open the lid, but when I do, oh my goodness, it makes me think of the pit of hell. I mean, it's just disgusting. It gets rotted. Think of things that get rusted. You know, actually, this word incorruptible could be understood as immortal. Right now, we are that corruption in this physical body. This physical body, we are mortal. And this body is decaying. And if you really think about it, and if I could be quite frank with you, and if I can't, then I apologize if I offend you. But we stink. Our breath stinks. Our armpits stink. There's other things that stink. And sometimes when we stink, we say, "Ooh, that's bad." And we cover it up. We cover it up with showering, I hope. With toothpaste and and the older we get, the worse the condition gets, doesn't it? There's things that come up and you think, "Ooh, I don't want nobody to know about this. This is embarrassing." The inheritance that we have is like nothing of this world. Everything of this world, including ourselves, are going through this corruption process where we decay, we rot. But one of the things that describes the inheritance that is coming is that it's immortal. And the second thing you can underline is it's undefiled. That is, it's pure. It's pure. There's no unholiness, no ungodliness. Think of heaven. Think of a place where you're not going to get hurt anymore. Think of a place where you're not going to stumble anymore. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you got caught up in the moment and you did something and blew it big? And that lingered long with you? It plagued you? How could I have done that? Why did I do that? Then you feel guilty before God, and if you hurt other people, it's just one of those, that's not going to happen anymore. Man, I would have hoped somebody would have said, "Amen! Where are you?" It's not the same when I gotta tell you to do it. But I appreciate it. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. I mean, I can't wait for that day. Oh, you were in awe. That's right on. You were just thinking. That was your heart, your hands and your heart. Yeah. One day we're going to experience that. Amen. Incorruptible, undefiled, that doesn't fade away. It's not going to fade away. This is eternal. 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 We can't really comprehend that. Now think of time. We can comprehend that. How many of you recently, you're in your 30s, and you said, I'm feeling so old. Some of you, your hands are going up. You know what gets me sick? And if you're in this age bracket, don't get offended by this. When I hear a 20-year-old say something like, oh, I feel so old. What? You know what equally gets me sick? Don't be offended if this is you. Skinny people who say, I'm so fat. And so, when a 40-year-old says, I feel so old, I feel like I'm... There are others that are in their 50s or 60s that say, you're just a baby. I've heard that. You're just a baby. You're just a little kid. You're a baby. And I think, I don't feel like a baby. Well, what's my point? Age is something that's relative, isn't it? It all depends on where you're at. But to me, and I've been spending some time in the hospital lately, and I've been in a wing where there's a lot of older people. You know, to me, now that, you know, when I was maybe 15, 16, and somebody said, oh, this 30-year-old, I'd think, or I'd say, oh, they're old. But then when I was, you know, 30, 30's not old anymore, not to me. So I think, you know, when you're 50, now I'm about 5 years away from that. 50 doesn't seem that old anymore to me. And I know that most of you that are going on the elevator of age, you understand exactly what I'm saying. And those of you who are like 20 and under, and you're saying those things, you don't really know what you're saying. But you're going to get there. Anyway, to me now, like 100 is old. 100. You know, when I see that, I hear, wow, they're 100, that's old. Anyway, no matter where you are in your age bracket, isn't life going by fast? Can you think, those of you who are in your 50s, that you're 50 already? Some of you say, yeah, I feel even older. Or 60 or 70? Well, what's my point? Time goes by so fast. But eternity is forever. And this promise that God has given us, we're going to walk into eternity and experience all the riches of eternity, of heaven, forever, ever. And you're not going to get sick of it or tired. You know what's interesting and fascinating? A lot of people that I've encountered, when they approach death, when we're young, we say, oh, I want to die when in my sleep, or when I die, or all these circumstances, you know, just pull the plug. I don't want to live. I don't want to. But what I've experienced in my pastoral ministry, there are often times when people get to that age, they want to keep living. They don't want to die. Now, there are some believers that are, they're ready, I'm ready. But I say that now, but what about when that time comes? I hope I'll be ready. I believe I'll be ready. But my experience has been that there have been some that they don't want to go. They don't want to go. They don't want it to change. That's here in time. But in eternity, that will never end. No, nothing rotten, nothing corrupt, nothing evil, nothing, and we are going to love it that way. Actually, I believe that it is the longing of the true and mature believer's soul to be with Christ in eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the wonderful thing is, and the fourth thing is that our inheritance, it's reserved for you. It's reserved for us. It's reserved for you. And no one can take it away from you. It's being kept by the power of God. And there is no greater power. That's why Jesus can say with all confidence that no one can snatch you out of my hands. No one. That's why Paul tells us, because he knows and understands our position in Christ. He understands the inheritance as best as he could. And he said in the book of Romans that nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God and from what awaits us. Nothing. You're in deep awe, aren't you? So that is the inheritance that we have, heaven and the details concerning it. And then back in Ephesians, he says, in verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This is how we obtain such a great inheritance. It was through the gospel. He calls it the word of truth. He calls it the gospel of your salvation, or the gospel that led to you being saved or born again. It was the medium. It was the ingredient that without it, there's no way that you and I can be saved. And there are some components, he tells us, in whom you also trusted. The you here is a reference to the Gentiles. The we in the prior verse was a reference to the Jews. But when we heard the word of truth, we put faith in it. And in that moment, that's when we became recipients of this great inheritance. That's when we obtained it. That's how we obtained it, through faith in Christ. How do you know that you've obtained it? Continuing in that verse, he says, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. So how do you know if you have truly obtained the inheritance that comes when a person is in Christ? Because the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. And he is the guarantee. It's kind of this idea. We understand the engagement ring very well in this country, in many countries. But the engagement ring is a promise, is a vow that of matrimony, that one day the man vows to marry that woman and gives her an engagement ring. It's a promise. Now, in this life, unfortunately, between engagement and marriage, many people never make it to the marriage, to the wedding ceremony, because of conflicts, etc. People break that promise. But God, He doesn't break His promise. And when an individual puts faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and takes residency inside of us. And that is our assurance that we belong to God. And then that is the assurance until that day when we are completely redeemed, because we're redeemed individuals in unredeemed bodies. And so the fact that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, and the Spirit of God came and took residency again when you made that commitment to Christ, and He comes and He's a person. And many of us, we know and we experience the influence of the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. And that's how you know, because He begins to influence you and empower you to live a life of godliness to the best of your ability, because we are so limited. But our desire now, our great desire, because the Spirit of God that works in us, is to be pleasing to God. And so what kind of response should we have to these things? Well, some of you voice them, amen. Some of you, you express them in your countenance. And some of you, because of coercion, you said, amen. And glory to God. But Paul, he said it twice, speaking about the Jews in verse 12. He said that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Talking about the Gentiles, he says, to the praise of His glory at the end of verse 14. Whether Jew or Gentile, it's the same thing, that we should live to the praise of His glory. God desires that this truth results in us being, so to speak, a billboard that magnifies the glorious Creator, Savior, who delivered us and has given us such precious promises to live on. Isn't that awesome? God really wants to use each one of us to display His goodness and graciousness and kindness and mercy. And the reason is because He wants the same thing He did for us. He wants to use us to communicate that He would do the same thing for anyone else who would put their trust in Jesus Christ. You, children of God, are special people. And God wants to use you to bring great glory to His name. And Father, we thank You so much for Your word that sets us free, the words of truth that give us the eternal perspective. I pray for my brothers and sisters that You continue to bless them. For anyone that's here that hasn't made a commitment to You, Jesus, I pray that even in these closing moments, as Your Holy Spirit brings conviction, that they would turn from themselves and turn to You, and that they would experience Your grace and Your mercy and Your divine influence upon their hearts in such a profound way that the only thing that it could result in is bringing glory to Your great name each and every day of their lives. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. And God, I pray that You continue to pour out Your blessings over us as we close this service in song. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.